fascinating to think that the tune that you just sang dates back to the Middle Ages. The original text dates back to the 5th century. There's continuity in what we do every Sunday. It may not seem like that, but it goes back to the earliest days, the earliest witness of the church, the early celebrations of a risen Christ. And so you've heard a gospel account of the resurrection appearances of Christ to Mary and to the disciples in the upper room. So we continue with an account of how we live into that good news. It comes to us from one of the little books, one of the epistles in the New Testament. This is a reading from 1 John. Now, the language in 1 John, particularly at the beginning, is going to sound a lot like the language at the beginning of the Gospel of John. And so the church from early on has linked these two books and seen similarities in their theme. So kind of listen and remember the beginning of John's gospel as you hear the beginning of this first letter, beginning with chapter 1, the first 7 verses. And the author says this, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed. We have seen it and testified to it. And we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with God the Father and with God's Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And this is the message that we have heard from Him and which we proclaim to you, that God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God while we are walking in darkness, then we lie. We do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, living Christ, Holy Spirit, we move into this season of Easter with joy and expectancy. So come near to us once more. Shine your light upon us and fill us with your grace. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our Redeemer, and our Lord. In Christ's name, amen. It is finally Easter season after 40 days of Lent and one long Holy Week in which we focused on the last days of Jesus and His death on the cross. We can now liturgically in the church retell the stories about His resurrection, how the risen Christ appeared to His disciples. Now these stories are almost 2,000 years old. But the stories have a vibrancy and immediacy to them that still speaks through the ages. And two of the stories were read earlier in worship. There's the great story of Mary Magdalene, who is there at the tomb and she's grieving when she sees someone who she thinks is the gardener, but instead is the risen Christ. And Jesus says to her, "Do not hold on to me, but go and tell the other disciples." And then after that comes a story from Easter evening. The disciples are still fearful that they might be arrested because of their allegiance to Jesus. And so they're meeting behind locked doors in an upper room. And in that room, Jesus appears to them and they rejoice. And Jesus said to them something like this, "Don't hide in here. As God has sent me, so I send you. Go as the Spirit leads you. Go and be my witnesses. Go and forgive sins and bring healing to the world." Now, in both of those stories, the focus is not on the how of resurrection. How is Jesus alive again? How is it possible that he, though dead, can now walk again and appear and interact with one another? The focus is not on the how, but rather on the now what of resurrection. If Jesus is alive and we accept that good news, and if that good news radically changes our perspective and understanding on life, then now what should we do? Now, if we're honest, our human brains actually like to focus on the how question more. We want to understand physiologically, medically, how resurrection is possible. But Christ redirected those first disciples from the how of resurrection to the now what of resurrection. And he did that and has been doing that for 2,000 years in the church and does it today even with us. And as proof of that, I want you to remember that second scripture I just read from the letter of John. It began this way. We declare to you what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now, the word of life is a title. It is both Jesus Christ and it's the gospel about Jesus Christ. Easter is that precise point when those two realities come together and merge. Jesus is alive, and telling about the living Jesus makes us alive. The word of life isn't interested in the how of resurrection, only in the now what of resurrection. And so the question is, well, what is the now what for us? It's frankly the same as it was for everyone else in that story. The risen Christ said to Mary Magdalene, go and tell the others. The risen Christ appeared to the disciples in the upper room and said, as God has sent me, go. I have sent you. And in this letter from 1 John, it says, go, may you have fellowship with one another. May you walk in the light of Christ Jesus, who is the light. Go and tell. Go as I've sent you. Go and have fellowship and walk in the light of the Lord. So now to help us with that instruction this morning, I want to give to you a slogan, a story, and a symbol. So first, the slogan. In one of Thomas Friedman's books, I came across this comment. He said, in the history of the world, no one has ever washed a rental car. And it's true. Have you ever washed a rental car? Sure, you take care of it. You make sure you don't have an accident. You return it with a full tank of gas. But have you washed someone else's rental car? Never. And why is that? Well, it's a simple reason. The rental car doesn't belong to you. You're not personally invested in it, in taking care of this car, so why bother washing it? That's someone else's job. So now ask yourself this Easter question. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ something you rent or something you own? Is faith something I rent on Sundays, something I use in times of need? But otherwise, I return it to the lot and I let someone else worry about it. Do you ever tell yourselves, well, I used to drive around in a small country church, but I've upgraded to a big Presbyterian SUV with stained glass windows. You know, it's a funny slogan and yet a troubling thought. Do we own the Christian faith or just rent it? No one washes rental cars. But if you own it, you care for it, you value it, you depend on it to get you through life, so you don't take it for granted. The good news of Easter, the word of life, is not something to rent, but something to own, to embrace. Now, second, a story. And the story also comes from this book by Thomas Friedman. The book was called Thank You for Being Late. And Friedman wrote that lots of people in America are worrying about the loss of good paying jobs in our country. And in worrying about that, many people have chosen to politicize the issue, to say, well, those losses of jobs are due to immigration policies, or it's a Democrat problem, or a Republican problem, or a congressional problem in general. But much of the loss of employment is simply a result of technological advances that have happened in the last two decades. Factories today are different from factories that existed a generation ago. Automation increases efficiency, but at the same time decreases the number of workers that are needed. And so Friedman told this brief story. He said that in the future, factories will only have two employees, a man and a dog. The man will be there to feed the dog. The dog will be there to keep the man from touching any of the machines. America still has a lot of manufacturing jobs. There are over 12 million still here in the country. But 50 years ago, the truth is one in four Americans probably worked in some form of manufacturing jobs. And today, the figure is less than one in 10. There are simply fewer jobs that pay a healthy wage with benefits anymore. Over the years, people shifted from farm fields to factories. And now people are shifting from factories to service counters and healthcare centers. The fastest growing jobs in America are in the healthcare industry, nurses and personal care aides, or in restaurants, retail stores, places that serve others a product, but often doing so at minimum or low wages. So what does all that have to do with Easter faith? Well, think about that message as it was encapsulated in 1 John. The author is writing to a young church community, one similar to ours. And the author says to them, "We declare to you what we've seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us." Our fellowship is with God and with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek word for fellowship is the familiar word koinonia. Koinonia means coming together. It means connecting, sharing, communing. It means being a church, being a family, being a caring body guided by Christ Jesus. Now, koinonia isn't limited to Sunday morning. Koinonia is not something you rent. It's something you own and take to heart. And it's not restricted to just inside these walls, but koinonia is to be with us wherever we go. And going back to Friedman's story, it's meant to be there wherever we work. To care for one another is not just a matter of being gracious and sending a card or offering medical care or social work. Koinonia involves how we treat one another. It involves whom we hire and what we pay them. It involves whether we give people pensions for their retirement. When companies care for their employees, we should celebrate that fact as people of faith. When businesses treat people poorly, when they underpay them, rent them, and then dispose of them, we should challenge that as people of faith. Christian faith is never just about individuals. It is always about communities. That entire passage in 1 John was written in first person plural. We declare to you, we testify that you may have fellowship with us. The risen Christ sent Mary Magdalene to the group. The disciples in the upper room were sent into the world. The goal of Easter faith is koinonia, fellowship, communion. And that involves us being faithful together, literally where we worship and where we live and where we work. And so lastly, a symbol, an image that seems especially relevant today. The 1 John reading moves to this section where it tells us to walk in the light, not walk in darkness. And that's a key symbol for Easter and the Easter story, the symbol of light. The first rays of the sun breaking over the hillside, allowing the women to see their way to the cemetery tombs. The light of the good news of the resurrection that chases away darkness and despair. And I could talk a lot about how we can walk in the light, but a lot of that just feels too abstract. I could say to you, don't sin, be kind, be gracious and generous. Walk in the light in all that you do. And none of you would disagree with any of that. But what does that look like, literally? So here's a symbol. It's an image from the recent news. In eastern San Diego County, there's a place called the Otay Mesa, which is the area between the United States and Mexican borders. It's the place where the 8 gigantic prototypes of the proposed border wall are being erected. On the American side of this border, there's really not much to see. There's some narrow gravel roads, there's some sunburned highways, there's some industrial buildings, maybe occasionally a small farm with a cow chewing on melon leaves. But on the Tijuana side of that border, the city crashes into it like a flood hitting the shoreline. There are houses, apartments, families. There are kids playing ball and businesses and people living and working together. Now think back to 1989 and the Berlin Wall. The clean side of the wall was on the east. It was guarded by trucks and cameras, attack dogs, and machine gun wielding soldiers. The West Berlin side had the murals. It had the color. It had the celebration and the protests of that life. Today, the Mexican side of the border wall is ablaze with color. It's an open art gallery. It's a place of murals and taco stands and strolling musicians and ice cream vendors. The American side is sterile and empty and guarded. Who is free and who is the prisoner? Walls are antithetical to walking. Yet Christ calls us to walk in the light, not in the darkness. To walk by faith, not by fear. To walk in koinonia together, not in isolation. The verses in 1 John, those Easter verses of an early church community, make it quite clear. God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Christ while we are walking in darkness, we lie, and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as Christ Himself is the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The how of Easter always gives way to the now what of Easter. We're sent into the world to own the faith, to tell the faith, and to live the faith. And in this koinonia fellowship, it's there the risen Christ makes us new. And it is there that our joy is complete. And that's the Easter good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, living Christ, ever-present Spirit, we come to you striving to walk alongside one another. As we together strive to walk in your light, the light of your goodness, the light of your peace, the light of your hope, the light of your love. We gather this day as an Easter people, Because we have heard and we believe the good news that Christ is risen indeed. We pray that this belief might not just rest in our minds or in our hearts, but that this good news might transform our lives, might transform our relationships, might transform the way in which we as a community and as individuals reach out into this world, as we encounter strangers, as we sit with those who are mourning, as we figure out how to spend our money, as we greet our neighbor in the morning, as we care for our families, as we live in this world. Help us not to just believe, but to own that this good news is ours and ours to share, and shape our lives by this resurrection reality, that in you death and brokenness and sin have been overcome, and that you have formed in us and in this world a new creation, as you have formed a new creation in the risen Christ. We pray that we might live into this fellowship, this koinonia, that you offer to us through the Christ who came to his disciples and spoke the words peace. Might we be a people of peace, a people who reach out to those who are struggling, a people who reach across borders and boundaries with love. And so we pray for this world. We pray that any area of our lives or of our community or of our world in which there is still sin and brokenness, where there's illness or grief, that we might feel your abiding presence and we might be shaped by your good news. We pray that those who are hungry will be fed and those who are homeless will find shelter. We pray that all will grow and be nourished by healthy meals, by a good education, by opportunities to thrive, by communities in which they feel secure, by families that love them, by a world at peace. So speak your good news into our lives, and may your good news reach out through our hands. Might your good news not only transform us, but all of your people, that where there is darkness in this world, your light will shine. Hear us now as we lift to you the prayers on our hearts for those for whom we are concerned, those who are sick or struggling, those who are in despair, those who are facing new beginnings, or those who know grief. Hear now the prayers of our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, risen Christ, renew the face of the earth. Renew us by the power of your Spirit, and hear our prayers. We lift our prayers to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray as a community together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.